Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's great to have you listening. Praise the Lord. We are in Terrorized Bible Study Daybreak, and in Daybreak, she takes different stories from the Bible, and this story we are in right now is Ruth. The last 2 weeks, we went over the history, and then we went over last week the sovereignty of God and ended on the loyalty of love.
Yeah, chesed, loyal love, yeah.
Loyal love, chesed.
Yeah. It's awesome. God is amazing. And you know, one of my favorite sayings to say when I teach from the Bible, and actually when I study it, when you look at a passage, and one, you want to look at it completely as a whole, but two, when you see something written in it, it's there for a reason. I mean, if you see a name introduced, if you see a point made, if you see an affirmation, a promise, a command, I mean, God has all these things written in there for a reason. And I will begin to ask God questions as I go through and do it. And so we last week storied some, Ruth too. I was about to say Acts. I've been teaching on Acts as well. And one of the things that was spoken of Boaz, the man who she went and gleaned in his field. Now, in case you don't know the story, what has happened is that been a famine in the land. Elimelech and Naomi moved to a foreign land. His sons married Moabite women. He died. The sons died. And essentially, Ruth came with Naomi back to Bethlehem, and she ended up going out in the fields to glean. She ended up in the land of Boaz, which ended up being a relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. Mm-hmm. God's sovereignty at work here. But scripture says, when it introduces Boaz, it says in 2:1, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. They hadn't even told the story of how she met him, but what scripture wants us to know, his character before we even meet him face to face. His character is so well known that scripture refers to him a man of outstanding, a man of standing. And that actually comes from the Hebrew word. It's Gibor Hayil, and it's a man of mighty valor.
Is that what his name actually means?
That is the description of his character. Okay. The description of his character is a man of mighty valor.
Wow.
And she ends up in his land with his gleaners. Now, what you have to understand, one of the greatest dangers that would face a woman, mm-hmm. much less a young, beautiful, strong woman, my assumption is that she's got to be beautiful because of her character. Your character is what defines your outer, and her character is gorgeous. And so she had to have been a radiant woman. She was strong, and she's in those fields. They were in grave danger of being attacked. Okay? And here she ends up in the field of Boaz, a mm-hmm. man of mighty valor. And a man of mighty valor is not going to allow men to work for him that do not adhere to his way of living.
Right. He's protected.
Okay?
Right.
He takes care of his workers. And I want you to see some things about Boaz to think on his character, because we've looked for 2 weeks at Ruth's, and that she is loyal. She stood next to her mother-in-law. She committed her life to her God, that literally to death, she's willing to sacrifice everything. Boaz, what I want you to see, think about just the fact that when he was going out to the field, first off, he is a man that knows what's going on with his place of business. Okay.
Yeah.
And he has a working relationship with the people that work for him. And when he comes upon his workers, he greets them not with hello or how are you, how's the day, but the Lord bless you. And his workers look to him as an employer and greet him with, and the Lord bless you. Here we have a field of harvesters that are living out serving unto the Lord in everything you do, where both the worker above and the worker below
right.
give the blessing of God upon the one that's under them and the blessing of God upon the one that's before them. That right there should be speaking to us today, and that God reveals his character and how we deal with those around us.
Hmm.
And it doesn't matter for the overseer or for the under. both of them are giving the blessing. And it's an profound lesson for us to look at the characters that are revealed. If we just did a character study on Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, what would we learn from them? I mean, with when we just look at Naomi, what do you think of immediately that comes to your mind, Sabrina?
Well, the first thing I think about is the fact that she lost her husband. Like her being a widow, her being alone.
In grief. Yeah, sadness.
Especially when she said, my name isn't Ruth. I mean, it's not Naomi. It's Mara now.
I'm bitter.
Yeah, that's the first thing I think about when I hear her name.
Okay, and what's the first thing you think of when you think of Ruth?
I think of Ruth as selfless.
Yeah.
Because I know what I would do in that situation.
I know. If you were to read my Bible study.
I would have been Orpah.
Yeah, what wrote in my notes. But, you know, one of the things that I wrote in my Bible study on Daybreak, I said, you know, Orpah gets a bad rap. But she's not a bad woman.
No, but yeah. I mean, I would have left.
You would have gone home.
Yeah.
She went home, and that's not bad.
No.
Yeah. But when you think of Boaz, what do you think of?
I think of, well, obviously, he's the kinsman redeemer. Yeah. He's God.
Yeah.
He represents, right?
Yes. He definitely represents Christ.
Right.
He definitely represents Christ. God reveals people and their character to us in Scripture, so that we will look at their character and allow that to become a mirror that we allow to reflect in our lives, so that we can ask ourselves the questions that need to be asked to see if that character trait is a part of my life. It is there to become a reflection of Him, so that we may have that become a part of us, to become a reflection of Him in us. And Sabrina's exactly right. Boaz represented the kinsman redeemer. And he was precious the way he took care of her. He gave her
beautiful.
What? He's like, come here, my daughter. I will give you protection.
Protection.
I'm going to protect you. You do not have to go to any other field. I'm going to give what you need. Okay. He provides for her. That she doesn't have to go anywhere else. He says, this is your place. I want you to see what you're going to have. And
he provides for her mother-in-law as well.
Yes, he does. Okay. I wrote these out because I want to break them down so that you can see for each of them. And I'll start with Naomi. I wanted you to see how it lays out, and that God's divine providence is at work, His sovereign hand. And as Chesed is being revealed, I had said in the very first week that we looked at this that Chesed is best revealed when it's both God and man working in it. Okay, Chesed is always happening on the part of God. God is always moving and loyal and committed to us. But we, as we said earlier in the first lesson of the series, sin keeps us from having Chesed be a part of our life. And we want our lives to be a part of the Chesed, the loyal love, the divine providence of what's being revealed. In Naomi's life, what we saw, or we can see, is that there is a purpose. God had a purpose. He needed, if you could use that word with God, because lineage-wise, he knows that Ruth is going to be the great-grandmother of David, which is a part of the lineage of Christ. He knows the lineage of what is to come. Even though Elimelech left the promised land, God in his sovereignty had a purpose and he had a plan. And the plan was to get Ruth to Boaz.
It's Romans 8:28.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in order for that to happen, a time of preparation had to occur. And so the preparation, as hard and difficult as the circumstances were for Naomi to lose her husband and her two sons, it was a part of God's greater redemption plan of Ruth being married to Boaz. Now, Ruth's role in what we can see in the divine providence as we look at this particular section of Scripture is that there is a pattern of behavior that she is emulating. Remember how I said it's important to look at the character. And she had obedience to her mother-in-law.
Yes.
Okay, she did. She had incredible obedience that goes way beyond anything we can imagine.
Yes.
And I'm going to explain her obedience now. Let's look at what happens. So Naomi wakes up and she realizes, you know, something needs to happen. My daughter-in-law is not getting any younger. And she says, Ruth, I'm going to try to find you a home. I want you tonight when Boaz is out on the threshing floor, winnowing the barley at the threshing floor, I want you to go and take a bath. Okay, because they didn't bathe daily like we do. Yeah. It's just a reality. They didn't. I want you to put perfume on. I want you to put your best clothes. First thing that went through my mind is like, did she really have best clothes? They're widows, but she must have had something set aside. And then I want you to go down to the threshing floor, and I want you to wait. Don't go while he's threshing. I want you to wait till he's done dining and he's done drinking. And once he lays down to go to sleep, I want you to lay at his feet and lift the cover of his feet and put it upon you. And Ruth says, I'll do whatever you say. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Yes, I'm here. So she bathed herself. She got dressed up, and she put her perfume on. She went and waited. She went to the threshing floor. And when he was done eating and drinking, she laid down at his feet quietly and uncovered them and laid his blanket on top of her. Now, Boaz is sleeping. You know, he came in. You know, he just disoriented from his festivities. And in the middle of the night, he realizes there's something at his feet. And it startles him, and he realizes it's a woman. Yeah. And he sits up and he says, who are you? Because it's dark out. It's late at night. And she says to him, I am your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me since you are my kinsman redeemer. And he says the sweetest thing. He says, the Lord bless you, my daughter. This is a kindness greater than any kindness that you've ever shown to anyone. And he says, you've not run after rich men. You've not run after young men. You do not be afraid, because I will do as you have asked of me. I'm going to seek to redeem you. But there's something you need to know. There is someone else who is a closer redeemer than I. There is a kinsman redeemer that is closer related to Elimelech, but I will not let the day pass tomorrow without having a resolution to this. And he said, go ahead, just lay here at my feet, and so that no one sees you. And before daybreak, I want you to go on home. But before you leave, what he does is he takes her shawl and he says, hold it out to me. And he fills it up with 6 measures of barley. He fills it up to the full. And Naomi was just waiting, and Ruth comes running back. And when Ruth runs in, she says, how did it go, my daughter? You know, I mean, just can see her excitement. I can just see her all. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, what did it go? What happened? What happened? And Ruth goes before her, and she lays out the 6 measures of barley. And he told me not to come back empty-handed to you. And Naomi says, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, because I know this man is not going to rest until he does what he says he's going to do. Lord. Now, what is interesting about this particular comment there at the end of that section of chapter 3 is that one of the blessings that she says to her girls, Orpah and Ruth, is that so that you may find rest. Because as a widow, she knew if they went with her, they would not have rest. But by going home, they would have found
right.
it. And now here she is using that same word back, but this time showing how God is using the phrase to show how the blessing's coming in the rest.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool how it comes back, the blessing of the rest.
Right.
It's amazing. I love God's word. I love God's word.
I do too.
And so what we see is a pattern of behavior on the part of Ruth. And the question I ask myself, I'm not going to ask you to do something that I myself don't do. What is my character reflect? Okay, what is the pattern of behavior that in my life that is observed by those around me? But let's take it a step further. Forget the observation of others, okay? Because we know that's always going to happen. But what is my pattern of behavior when I'm by myself and the only one that can see me is God? That pattern of behavior is what will determine the character revealed. And Ruth had it. I mean, she had a solid, beautiful pattern of behavior worthy of bringing honor. Not only that, when her mother-in-law said, "I want you to go to the threshing floor and lay at his feet," first thing I want you to know, there was nothing improper that happened that day. Nothing inappropriate right. occurred. This particular custom was, it was a custom that if she pulled it over, it was, I don't know, one commentator said, you know, maybe it's because they don't want the embarrassment of the rejection that it didn't happen. You know, I mean, it could be different ways of looking at it. But the fact of the matter is, she was young enough to be his granddaughter. And her obedience was so solid to her mother-in-law. She so trusted her mother-in-law's guidance that she was willing to even go to a man that equivalent to what would be like a grandfather to have him as her husband, because his character was so solid that it wasn't an issue of age. It was an issue of the person's character. And he was the kind of man that would respect and honor a young foreign Moabite woman and not use and abuse her within his whatever
power.
Right. And control within his life. And so she completely at the mercy of what her mother-in-law asked, she was willing to do it. Now, what I want you to understand is this story reveals how God's chesed has people watching it. Okay, God's loyal love and the way he works in our lives, the way our character, our pattern of behavior, the way we follow through with the circumstances in obedience, others are watching. Mm-hmm. We've already been told in chapter 2 that he has seen how he has treated. I mean, apparently the whole community is talking about how she has treated her mother-in-law. She really has impacted the community. And now her character is coming back to her as a blessing. Because what we're going to see is how redemption comes to her through Boaz. And Psalm 42:8. Sabrina, will you mm-hmm. turn to that and read for us Psalm 42:8. And it's going to show how when Boaz says to her, he says, "Bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than what you showed earlier. You've not run after younger men, whether rich or poor." He's recognizing the chesed in her. So read Psalm 42:8.
"The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life."
God will guide us in our steps. And that's what that is showing. And so I want you to see how that guidance of God's hand, that sovereignty, the divine providence, the movement of the loyal love has impacted so much that Boaz says that this is the greatest kindness that she could have shown. I want you to think about the people around you and who you are called to give that loyal kindness. Take the time and see how your character needs to change so that it's the same in private as it is in public, truly to become one. God bless. We're glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts.